You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Each year, when it gets warmer, the leaves start to fall, American families get into their cars. But not all of them are doing it to see the sights. Thousands of them travel in search of work in the fields. Strawberries, cucumbers, lemons, apples, you name it. Some of the most common foods come to your table because of the hard work of migrant laborers. And some 400,000 of those laborers picking the food that we eat are children. Child migrant workers and the challenges they face growing up are the subjects of a new documentary called The Harvest, La Cosecha. Cosecha? It premieres today at the Quad Cinema, and I'm very pleased that it brings filmmakers Albie Hecht and Susan McLaurie to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
We tend to think of child labor as happening in other countries. Are there really 400,000 children working on our farms?
Yeah, there are approximately 400,000 children that migrate. There's probably more working on farms, but every year approximately 400,000 in 48 states. So many people think this is in Texas, this is in Florida, this is in California, but this is all 48 states where these children leave in April and don't come back till October.
And some of them actually will go from Texas up to Michigan, for example.
Correct, yeah.
Is this where most of the child labor in this country occurs?
In agriculture, yes, yeah. Because unlike other occupations, children in agriculture are not protected in the same way.
So what are the chances that the ingredients of the salad I'm going to eat tonight were picked by child migrant workers?
It's estimated that anywhere from 20 to 25% of the produce that we eat has been picked by children.
And is there any way to know which has and which hasn't?
Tough to know, but in the areas what you mentioned, the open tomatoes, strawberries, cucumbers, those are very much the fruit and vegetables that are definitely majority of them picked by kids.
Was it easy for you to locate child migrant workers when you thought of making this film?
Well, this film was brought to us 4 years ago by Robin Romano and Rory O'Connor, and both filmmakers with strong advocacy backgrounds. And Robin, in a previous film that he had done, Stolen Childhoods, had discovered this issue, and he'd begun to acquaint himself with some of the major farm worker organizations. And he kind of started at the top and worked his way down, gaining their trust. It's funny because when we had an opportunity to visit with U.S. Representative Roybal Allard, the person who's introduced the CARE Act now for, I believe, the 10th time, a couple of years ago, we saw her.
They can't get it through Congress.
They can't get it out of committee. We visited her at her office, and she said to me, she said, "How did you get access? The access, we can't get this access." And I went back and I asked the director, I said, "How did you get this access?" And he said, "You don't even want to see my bar bills."
But Robin has been tireless in terms of his advocacy. In 5 years, he's been in the fields trying to find these kids. And even up until the last minute of making the film, we had looked at 10 or 12 kids and then ended up following these three through the harvest.
Are most of these migrant families from Mexico?
Yes.
So do they have any minimum wage, or they obviously are coming here to find a better life?
Yeah, they are. We should say the children are American citizens, and the ones that we follow in the movie are citizens. So
because they were born here.
They were born here, correct. But it's a difficult life. It's better than where it was. But the minimum wage is actually a controversial issue because it's state by state. So in Florida, for example, they're picking by the bushel still, which is extraordinary.
Well, these are children. Can children pick by the bushel at the same rate that an adult can? It can get pretty heavy, can't it?
No, they really can't. I mean, there's a scene in our film where we follow Victor Huapia picking tomatoes in 107-degree heat.
How old is he? He's 14 years old?
No, he's older. He is 16. And he lays it out pretty starkly. He said he picked 1,500 pounds that day, and he made $60 to work 12 hours. It was so hot that day that the camera broke filming him.
Now, how old was he when he started picking?
That's a good question. Victor is the one of the three children that we follow that was actually born in Mexico, came to this country, I'm going to estimate probably around the age of 10 or 11. He was picking in Mexico by the age of 8, and he's picked steadily ever since.
What's a pinteada? Isn't that part of what he's involved with?
He's in terms of Victor, in terms
yeah.
of his.
He has to buy a pinteada, doesn't he?
I don't. I don't remember the translation of that.
A pinteada, actually, I think is the amount of stuff that he gets. He collects, and maybe that's the Spanish name. One of the children you follow is Zulema Lopez. How old is she?
She's 12.
And she's an American citizen. She was born here.
Yes.
She says she can't remember when she wasn't picking in the
Yeah, place. She's been. Her family is multi-generational. You see her grandmother in the movie, and her mother, her grandmother. They go to her grandmother's cabin in Michigan from Texas. So there's multi-generation. She's been in the field since she was like 4 or 5, and you see her next generation, her sister America, in the field, who's maybe 3 or 4 in the film as well.
No, she's actually younger. Yeah, she's only a year by the end of it.
Well, I can never tell the age of little ones.
We were stunned when they brought this idea to us. We had no idea that this was going on in America, and I don't think most Americans do know this. And one of the legal points here is that right now it's legal for children 12 and up to pick crops in any farm as long as they have parental consent or their parents are working there.
I would assume that goes back to the times when kids worked for their own parents and their farms. But this is something quite different. These are people who travel from place to place as migrant farm workers. They don't own farms.
Right.
They don't have much hope for the future.
They don't have much hope. In fact, Zulema says that she has no dreams in this, which is really sad for a 12-year-old to talk about. But this goes back to 1938 when the Fair Labor Standard Acts were put into place for children and workers. And President Roosevelt did a fantastic job doing that, but it excluded farm workers. And it's astonishing that still today, children don't get the same protections as other workers out there. You can work at McDonald's. You can't work at McDonald's at a certain age, but you can work in the fields, and that is really a travesty.
And the other piece of this, Leonard, is that if today a child is working on a farm with fewer than 11 employees, they can work younger than 12. There's absolutely no – they're not covered at all because smaller farms are exempt from any legislation.
This is on a federal level? The Labor Department can't do anything about this?
Labor Secretary Solis is mobilizing against this, and she's really cracking down on farmers who are violating the existing law.
Now, the parents, immigrant families, the parents usually have high hopes for their children to do something else, to at least graduate from high school, go to college. What about the parents of these kids, Zulema's parents, for example?
Well, you hear Jessica Lopez say repeatedly, "This isn't what I want for my children." And what we heard from all the parents was that we don't want this kind of life for our children. But you have to understand that the average farm worker family in this country makes $17,500 a year, a family of four. The whole family of four. What we heard from the kids is we hate doing this and our children won't do this, but there's no way that we're not going out in the fields and helping our parents. They need the help.
And they just hope that they make it through so that they graduate. They know education is the way out.
What kinds of conditions do they live in?
Conditions are pretty horrible. I mean, there's the little shacks that are provided for them by the farmers. They may be the same shacks that single males are occupying right next door. You see Zulema in the field with about 25 young men that she's picking with. So these are really substandard conditions.
Yeah, about 15-20% of the farms don't have adequate sanitation or running water.
The third child in your film is Perla Sanchez. How old is she?
She's 14.
What does she want to do with her life?
Well, she'd actually has a dream. She'd like to be a lawyer and help other kids. And I really hope that she'll be able to achieve that. She's really a very sweet and remarkable
young
woman.
She's the oracle.
Yeah. Is there any support system for migrant workers in the United States?
Yes, there is. There's a National Center for Farm Worker Health. There's a National Association of State Directors of Migrant Education. There's the CAMP program that's federally funded that provides college scholarships. But there are daycare centers set up. But, you know, with all the cuts in the last several years, many of these programs have taken a serious hit.
Now, they pick in the fields, but do they also do the other jobs, packing, packaging, and the like?
Yes.
And who oversees them? Are they contracted or are they hired specifically?
They're hired specifically. There's usually overseers that are hired by the farmers who are the middlemen that do the hiring of the farm workers and oversee them.
Do they have to show any documentation?
They do. Mm-hmm.
So in this case, are all of these people documented immigrants?
I honestly don't know. That's not really clear to us.
You know, it's really the web of what happens. It's like they have enough documentation to get a paycheck in this country, and they're working hard. And, you know, what we really focused on was the children in this instance, and they're American citizens.
Yeah. We're looking at this less as an immigration issue and more as a child rights issue.
Well, they go from place to place mm-hmm. to pick different things. How long does it take to pick a season of strawberries?
Usually a few weeks, and then they go on. Like in Zulema's case, over the course of the year, she picks onions in Texas and then cucumbers and then strawberries and then ends up with apples.
Is it better work to lay down plastic for watermelons?
Mm. The pesticide issue is a huge issue because the OSHA standards are for 165-pound male. So you can imagine the same amount of pesticides being inflicted upon a 60 or 70-pound girl.
Are we seeing illnesses as a result of this pesticide poisoning?
Yeah, they have a much higher – these children – the problem is cancer takes so long to develop. Mm. But what we understand at this point is that their likelihood of developing cancer is about three times that of other children.
And in fact, one of the child that we started to follow, Chewy, mother was ill and she died. And weren't able to harvest after that, so we couldn't continue to follow her. But she died from the cancer. It was really a tragedy.
She'd been a child
worker.
We
dedicated the film to it.
Yeah, you have to wonder what goes on in these kids' minds. At the end of the film, Zulema says, "Why is it suffering if I'm not the only one who's suffering? Why is it work if I'm not the only one who goes to work?"
They have such a heart. I mean, all they talk about was trying to help their families and help their and to contribute. And despite all this, and even Victor has a nobility to say, when people ask me if I picked, I'm going to tell them I picked, and I'm going to be proud of it because I helped my family and I got myself out of this. So they have that nobility in them.
Have you shown this film to any people who could affect government policy?
Well, we showed it at the Congressional Visitor Center in March, and we were there for the press conference when Lucille Roybal-Allard did reintroduce the CARE Act. Hilda Solis showed the trailer 2 years ago at the Department of Labor and in introduction of a panel discussion there.
And what does the CARE Act call for?
It calls for raising the minimum age of child workers from 12 to 14 and strengthening other laws that would protect them.
And what would it mean for the families involved? Would that actually hurt them because it would reduce their income?
Yeah, it's a many-faceted problem, and I think that ultimately the families have stepped up and the Latino groups have stepped up and said, we have to start here. Originally, there was also another act that would give them subsidies for losing that income from those kids for a couple of years until they get back on. And that, of course, fell by the wayside. So it was it was raising the minimum wage. It was substandard, the stopgaps subsidization and raising the age. But we have to start somewhere, Leonard.
A listener asks, do companies that employ migrant workers ever provide schooling or other services?
Not to our knowledge.
Because that sort of thing does happen with child laborers overseas. So in some ways, we're offering less to these kids in our country than they might have elsewhere?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's happening here. We're like a third world country when it comes to this issue.
So what did the politicians who you showed this to say? Did
Well, many of them are actually respond? Shocked. I mean, just as we were, many of them, to believe it or not, I mean, we're 50 years from Edward R. Murrow's Harvest of Shame about farm workers and conditions are the same and they're worse for kids. And many of them are still shocked about this. And I think what happens is for them, they think about it, they go back, and then it get caught up in an immigration issue, frankly, and as opposed to really focusing on our children. And these are our children. Make yeah. no mistake about it, and we owe them something.
There's no support yet from the Senate to co-sponsor the bill. And here in New York, what we discovered was that of the 21 members of the House of Representatives last year, only 8 signed on as co-sponsors.
You mentioned that almost every state has migrant workers, but not all. Is that because laws in certain states prevent it or because Nevada did this thing to pick?
We don't actually know why. You know, it's, why that's
one of them's
true.
Alaska, so that's all. I think the other may be Hawaii.
So where are these families now?
They're on the road.
All of them.
They're on the road.
Back
yeah.
on the road.
Zulema's up in Michigan. Victor actually, if his family follows the same schedule as they've tried to in the past, they are in Tennessee at this point. And Perla, it's I believe that, again, they're back in Indiana in a canning factory because their dad got sick and they all had to help out again this year.
And this is something we should probably keep in mind when we're buying at least some kinds of strawberries, maybe not the local strawberries, although I don't know. There may be child migrant workers right here in New York State and in New Jersey and Connecticut also doing this.
There are.
And I think one thing that can be done, well, what we would hope people would do if they care about this issue is go to the website, theharvestfilm.com, and there's very specific steps people can take in a call to action to notify their representatives. The other immediate thing they can do is buy organic because at the very least there's not the pesticide exposure.
And they can also text HARVEST to 67463 or go to theharvestfilm.com if they want to find out more information. My great thanks to Albie Hecht and Susan McLaurie for coming by to talk about The Harvest, La Cosecha, which is opening today at the Quad Cinema. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.